Have we got an example in the Word of God where that they told Peter and John, they brought them in and said, how did you get this man healed? We got him healed by faith in the name of Jesus. Don't you ever. Now, this is the authorities. Don't you ever use that name again. What'd Peter say? Okay, you're the government. We won't never use that name again. What'd he say? I'm sorry, but it's better that we obey God rather than you. Is that what they said?
Yes.
Is that what we're going to have to say?
Yes.
That's absolutely. In other words, if the government tells us to do anything that does not line up with the Word of God, and of course, that's where you're going to have to know the Word. If you don't know the Word, you're going to obey them. And when you do, chances are you're not going to do the right thing. Now, Peter and John knew the right thing. They were led by the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit. So when you get that in your spirit, you'll say, okay, God said in His Word, this is what I'm supposed to do. Now then, if you're from Him, what He tells you, you'll tell me, and it'll line up with His Word, and I'll obey you. But if you send somebody to my home, like that video I watched last night, of those big, beautiful homes in New Orleans, that those FEMA men walked in and absolutely knocked the doors down and walked into these beautiful homes and took these people and walked in and confiscated every weapon they had and took them away. And far as I know, they never got them back. That is not right. I don't care if there was a storm. These people wasn't hurting nobody. Sure, they had arms. They had arms. And one of the guys was asked, why do you have all these big guns in your house? He said, well, I mean, I'm a hunter, one thing. But he said, I bought these guns to protect this property. You know, he said, but I had some big guns here. I had some big guns here. But he said, they confiscated all of them. And, of course, he was talking after they'd released him. The first picture, all the people in those homes, the men, the women, the children, everybody was handcuffed sitting on the front porch of their own home. Now, what would you feel like if somebody come in from the federal government, handcuffed you, and you ain't done nothing? You just gone through a storm. Isn't that something? I'm telling you, you have no idea what we're in for. No idea. So it's time we start getting smart. You know, you're going to have to understand what's coming. They're planning to do something to you. There's only one God and Father who is over us all and in us all and living through us all. Now, he's talking about Christians there. He's talking about men and women that love Jesus. Next verse. However, he has given each one of us a specific gift according to the generosity of Christ. And he has given you, every one of you, a gift. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. You know, I used to read that and think, what in the world does he mean there? I read that over and over and over again. However, he has given each one of us a special gift according to the generosity of Christ. That is why the scripture says, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Who is the crowd of captives that he led somewhere? Well, let's go to Matthew 27, 52 and 53, and let's see who these people are. Matthew 27, 52 and 53, and then we'll come back here to verse 8. Matthew 27, 52 says, and the tombs opened, the bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead after Jesus' resurrection. This is when this happened. They left the cemetery, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. You know, many people don't even know that scripture is in the Bible. Never read it. Who do you think he's talking about in Ephesians 4 when he said he led many back to heaven? When did he do that? These people that rose from the dead. These were the Old Testament saints that had died looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. They'd been held captive in a place in the center of the earth, an air-conditioned compartment. And when Jesus came and did what he did and died, and after he rose from the dead, because it says he became the first fruits of the first resurrection. And then after he was raised from the dead, all these Old Testament saints that were looking forward to the coming of Christ, their tombs opened and they all came out of the grave. And they walked into the streets and people saw them. Can you imagine somebody saying, Simeon, Simeon, you died 30 years ago. 33 years ago. I was at your funeral. I was a young boy. I was only 12. But I saw them bury you 33 years ago. Simeon. He said, yeah, it's been great. I was in this wonderful place in the center of the earth. It was all air conditioned. Abraham was down. It was great. Whoa. He said, but now then, I'm alive and well. He had no clue what was fixing to happen. All he knew, he was alive and well and walking in the streets of Jerusalem. And many people saw these people. And when Jesus was ascended, what did he do? He took all them with him. That was the wave offering that he took back to the Father. That was his wave offering. Now, when's the rest of us going? When you die. You have your number. But I don't want us to die early, do you? We all know we're going to go home to be with him someday. But I don't want to be taken out early because of sin or because of somebody else tells me that I'm tired of living. You know, they have no right to do that to me. But they're planning on doing that. Well, that the thing about it is these people, these government agencies, I mean like SWAT or whatever you call all these people, if they have any idea that they think that your house is a place that's in drugs or whatever, they can come in and they don't ask no questions. They confiscate everything. They kill people. They confiscate your cars. Everything you got, and most of it you never get back. And there's no telling what they really do to people. That's why it's very nice not to live in a big city. I'm glad I don't live in a big city. You know that? And if this thing happens like it does, I'm really going to be glad I'm not living in a big city, because it's going to be deadly when you take these things happen. But anyway, if you live in a big city, you know, that's your problem. I lived there for a long time, but you got to remember you walk holy before God. What God promised to do if you walk holy and obedient to His Word? He promised to protect you. So don't you get into fear. I don't care how many, especially, I'm going to tell you that this lady, Miss Mueller, she must be in her 80s. She owned a little restaurant down in Florida, and years ago she got a hold of our teaching, and it set her on fire. She realized for the first time she had power over the devil. If I walk holy before God, He'll do anything I say. She just became an ecstatic woman. And here a few years ago, she lived in an area, had three of those gigantic hurricanes come right across Florida where she lived. The first one, she had the faith to believe that her house would not sustain any damage. She walked outside and said, Lord, You made me these promises. She said, I've learned these things from reading and listening to Thurman's tapes. But Lord, it's in Your Word. So since He's just telling me what You said, I'm standing on Your Word. Now, Lord, I am asking You to protect my house, and I will not lose a shingle or a tile or nothing else on my house. And the storm came, and houses were tore up all around her, and her house sustained no damage. The next one, which is only a few weeks later, she came back and said, okay, Lord, last time I knocked my electricity out. But this time, my electricity is not going to be out. I'm going to have cold things, and my freezer's going to work and everything. In the name of Jesus, everything's going to work in my house. And the storm came and passed, and she was the only house on the block that had electricity. But her house stayed. Well, the next time, a few weeks later, another one came. They had restored a lot of the electricity down there, and she stood on her soapbox with the Lord for her entire block, that everybody in her block would have electricity. And she wrote us a letter after the storm cleared. She said, Thurman, I want to thank you for your teaching, but you've taught me who I am with Christ and what I can do in the name of Jesus. And she said, this last time when I stood by faith, not one single household on my entire block was out of electricity. She said, there was 100,000 homes out of electricity where we live, but our block had electricity. Because she stood. Now, what? Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. But, you know, what can you do in the name of Jesus? By faith? All things. I mean, He told us that, didn't He, Tom?
He did.
If you walk in faith with no doubt, He said, nothing shall be impossible with you. So that's the power the King gave us if we believe Him. So that's why we've got to believe Him. Now then, He says, these people, He led those people back to heaven. And that's where we get that in Matthew 27, 52 and 53. Okay, go back to Ephesians 4, 8. And that's why the Scripture says when He ascended to the heights, to heaven, He led a crowd of captives, and then He gave gifts to His people. Well, what gift did He give? Well, let's see what He says in verse 9 and 10. Notice that it says He ascended. This means that Christ first came down to the lowly world in which we live. The same one who came down is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that his rule might fill the entire universe. Now, all power in heaven and earth is given to our king. All power. That means nobody else has none. He has it all. And he's sharing it with us. So, verse 11 and 12. Let's see what he says there. He is the one who gave these gifts. Now, these are the gifts he's talking about. He is the one who gave these gifts to the church. What are the gifts? The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. He gave these people gifts. And he said he gave these, and their responsibility, since God gave these men these gifts, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Now, what job did he give me to do as a pastor of a church? To equip you. To tell you who you are, what you can do in the name of Jesus. To warn you about things that are going to happen. He reveals things to me so I can warn you from the Word. Tell you who you are. If you hadn't listened to my tape, you might have been dead, brother. You know that? But you listened to the tape. God wasn't through with you. Who do you think is in control of those tapes and how it got into your hand? God was. He loves you. He wasn't through with you yet. So he said, until I am through with you, I'm going to make sure you get this teaching that I've taught my son. And you're going to listen to it. And when you believe me, I'm going to heal you. Isn't he wonderful? He's a mighty God. He's the King of Kings, isn't he, Richard? Amen. He is God. And aren't we glad he's our God and our Lord? Wow. Praise the King. Then he says, verse 11, 13 and 14. Until we come to such unity in our faith. Now, see, that's where we're supposed to be coming to. Unity. And if there's anything that's going to bring the body of Christ together, the tribulation that's fixing to come upon the world is going to bring the church together in unity. Because we can't win this battle by ourselves. We're going to have to be a church. I mean, the entire church is going to have to be that strong entity that can be used for the glory of God. If we don't, we're going to lose. I mean, when you take one person out there by yourself, what can you do? Not a whole lot. But you take two or three others with you, you can do something. Now, if we got a few hundred thousand of us as a church and we're all bound together in unity, you know, if the church had been bound together in unity, I mean, I remember whenever Clinton was running for president the first time.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.